One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
You're listening to the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. With me, as always, is Dave Callens.
Hey.
And the Duke of Soundboard, Mr. Robert Timothy.
Really more of a Baron of Soundboards.
Yeah, that name has really turned me off recently.
Baron. That's true. You got to earn it by being born into it.
I'm so sorry I'm late, guys.
Yeah, you're 10 minutes late after postponing the podcast.
Yeah, surprising, even my short standards.
Yeah, I got pulled over on the way here.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, did you make a left-hand turn on red?
I absolutely did.
Did you really?
Yep. It was the first time I've ever done
it. Yes! All right, set this up. Where are you? What are you doing?
I am leaving Ocean Beach.
Okay.
I am, well, Point Loma more specifically.
Okay.
And I see the red turn arrow.
Right.
And I just thought of Bobby in my head, just like a little.
But you have a green, there's a green light, but a red arrow?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So.
How big is this intersection?
I don't know how to answer that.
Is this a small?
81 meters. I don't know. What do you want me to say?
How many lanes each way?
Yeah, how many lanes each way?
Two each way.
Okay. And you're coming up. You have a green light, but a red turn arrow. Mm-hmm. And you have completely clear route going.
That's
Nobody's
right.
coming towards you the other way.
No one's coming. I just, and I thought, you know what? What would Robert Timothy do?
That's right. What would I do?
What would he do?
What would I do?
Well,
did you check for cops?
I thought I did.
Okay.
I thought I did. And I went, you know what? I'm not a stooge.
Right.
I want to be part of the solution.
Yeah.
You know, I'm using that ashtray you got me for my car.
That's
I'm no
right.
longer throwing cigarettes out the window
You're
anymore.
You're trying to improve your life.
I'm trying to, you know, I am. I'm trying to improve my life. And then as soon as I did it, woo!
Now, where was this cop? How is it that you missed him?
He was hidden, man. He was fucking hidden. He was waiting for someone to break a law.
He was in speed trap mode, and you were coming through, and you had no line of sight towards him, but he could see your left hand.
I saw it after I passed him, one of those too late moments where I'm like, oh, there you are now. So I think we've all learned something about... Uh-huh. Listening to Bobby.
No, you just do it right. Just you do it when there's not a cop watching.
What did you tell him?
I've not been drinking.
So you lied. No, so what I'm saying is, and once you do it, by the way, when the cop pulls you over, just be like, listen, I'm so sorry. I saw as I was making that left turn that light was red. But when I looked up, I saw the green light and thought I had it. I didn't realize there was a left arrow there. I'm sorry, officer.
I did have a couple of drinks with breakfast. And then I stopped to get this the small bag of Carlsberg beers here. And so as I'm being pulled over, I'm like, there's no way I'm over 0.08.
Right.
However,
I started the mental calculation.
Yeah, and then I'm like, it's not enough to risk it.
I can blow 0.05, so I shouldn't mouth off too much.
Yeah, right. So
that's what I do have the advantage. I can always mouth off to a cop because as the whitest guy in the world who never drinks and drives, the world is my oyster.
I feel like that was a shot at me. It's not like I just cruise around wasted. I had a fucking manmosa with fucking my eggs.
Manmosa.
Yeah, God, it's not a little fruity flute. Anyway, so what did you fuckers
did you get a ticket
about?
Or did
I got a ticket. It's an expensive ticket.
Oh, you should have tried to talk yourself out of it.
Oh, I didn't. I just went, oh, give me that. Yeah, put it in my mouth. No, I absolutely tried.
What'd you try? What'd you say?
Well, yeah, what'd you say?
I said everything Bobby says in this podcast. I'm like, sir, I'm relieving traffic. Really, there's no one coming the other way. What is the reason? And before I even said the R in the word reason, he had ripped off the ticket and handed it to
now,
me.
Now, can I just tell you this?
As I was kicking my bag of beers under my seat.
Can I just tell you this? Please,
no, you can't tell me shit anymore.
Listen, the fact that you do things wrong doesn't mean that you got to blame other people. That is your bad.
I do what you said to do.
Because you did it when their cop could see you.
I got to. I love you, Shores, but I got to believe you fucked up Bobby's system.
Yeah, you got to do it where a cop can't see you. Like, that's the whole point. But
also,
what if they're hidden like the Predator?
I think Bobby would have been able to talk his way out of it.
I think I might have been. And if not, here's what you do, because then this is what I'm advising you to do.
You flee. Mexico's only a few miles away. You make it across the border.
No, I've given this advice before. You always fight the ticket, always. But my tactic, which has worked very well for speeding tickets, it's gotten me out of like 11 speeding tickets, which is...
Just in the past month alone.
No, I no longer speed, but I used to speed a lot. And I got a lot of speeding tickets, and I got rid of all of them except for one. But it's a really interesting tactic. All you do is call up. You're going to get a ticket in the mail, and it's going to tell you a court date. That is the same.
No!
That is the same court date that that officer has for all the tickets he has not only written today, but a lot of the ones he has written in one thing. So they basically schedule all his stuff on one day, so he shows up to court and spends the day in court. What you got to do is get off that set schedule, because if he doesn't show up to court, you win. The ticket goes away. So what you need to do is you call up once you get that in the mail and you say, yeah, I just got it for this date. Just so you know, you can either say I have a work thing, which doesn't usually work, or my favorite is I am out of the country at that point. I am on vacation. I'm going to this thing.
Digging up bones somewhere
else. I'll be digging up bones. I will not be in the country. There is no possible way for me to make that date. They'll argue with you a little bit sometimes. They'll be like, it needs to be this date. And you're like, listen, there's nothing I can do. I am gone. They'll finally reluctantly say, okay, fine. And they'll push.
If I start talking dirty to the lady at court, maybe she'll hang up.
They'll push it to another date. Ideally, what you'd like to do is get it pushed once more. So you call up later on and say, you guys moved it to this date, but I have jury duty or something like that. You want to get some
and
way.
They'll say, perfect, same building. Yeah, right? Not going all at once.
You can be on your own jury. You want to get it moved, especially if you get it moved twice. Your ideal and what you need to tell them is, because of my work schedule, because of this, especially if you can work health issues, whatever it is, the only days I have free are Fridays and Mondays. This is really important because cops love a three-day weekend. And if you get it moved so you're the only court case on that thing, they don't have to show up to the office in the morning. So they essentially get a three-day weekend if they don't show up to court. So if you can either get it put on a Monday or a Friday, or even better, the Friday before a three-day weekend, so you're giving that guy a four-day weekend, you can give yourself a pretty darn good shot that he doesn't show up to court. You win the case.
I'm going to go one better. That's not bad advice, Bobby, but that's kind of rookie advice. Like, a lot of people know that.
It works.
Doesn't always work. I've done it before, and it's actually never worked for me when I did it. But I got advice from someone else that I think is better. This did work for me twice.
Pocket sand!
You should have done that first. Absolutely.
Or no, you just check for cops before you make the turn.
I got a ticket.
He was hidden, Bobby. He was fucking hidden.
There's no way for him to be hidden and see the light and you not have to pass him in the process of making this turn.
I was in the process of being pulled over. A cop was trying to catch me on the freeway. I tried to lose him. I lost him successfully.
I tried to lose him?
No, I did. I had enough distance on him. There were enough cars in between. I managed to get out.
Right.
But in the process of losing him, I blew a stop sign, and another cop
really
got me for rolling the stop sign. So once I got that ticket, a friend of mine gave me this advice, which is better. One of the options to fight a ticket is to write in your explanation.
Yep.
So you wait until the last day, and then you go drop it off at the courthouse. The cop has to write a response.
Right.
He doesn't get paid to do that. That's just on his own time. He gets paid to go to court and sit through all those tickets. So odds are he's going to blow off writing something. That's what happened for me.
See, so, I've done the written ones before, and the written ones I always seem to get back like, sorry, no deal. I have never had success with the written ones, but
really?
Yeah, but if it works, I have had a lot of success with moving the court dates. Like I said, I think 11 out of 12 tickets I got out just because the guy didn't show up. In one case, they did it from a plane. One of the guys was like, they fly planes over and go like, oh, we calculated how long.
I thought that was a myth.
No, they calculated how
long. I
thought
you were going to say he parachuted to court.
Yeah.
Bobby's like, yes, he's not here. Oh, no, wait. Here he comes.
Well, then they radio down to a cop on the ground who pulls you over. I had gotten it shifted a few times, and the cop who pulled me over showed up, but the airplane cop didn't, and they both have to be there legally. And so they wrote me off on that one.
Nice.
All right. Well.
So what we're saying, Shores, is we'll represent you in court.
Good, good, good. Your Honor, I already do have a gorgenerate that's an attorney. We got Jordan Parker. By the way, I've never – all right, so one of our friends is a lawyer, also a comic. And one time I was out drinking with him, and someone came up to me like, "Hey, Shores, how you doing?" I'm like, "Yep, this is my lawyer, Jordan Parker. This is my attorney." And he introduced himself. He's a nice guy. And afterwards, he's like, "Hey, man, I'm always happy to represent you if you ever need. But I've never worked for you. Why'd you introduce me as your attorney?" I'm like,
"Because you're like Hunter S. Thompson."
Yes, because hanging out and getting wasted with your attorney is some old world Hollywood shit. You know who hangs out and gets wasted with his lawyer? Johnny fucking Carson. And that's the kind of image I'm trying to project. So next time I introduce anyone as my attorney, you just fucking play ball.
You know what's better? Shores will be hanging out with Bobby one night, and if someone will come up.
This is my archaeologist.
This is my archaeologist, Robert Timothy.
And my bartender, Dave. I have all my people with me tonight, so don't fuck with me. He will bury you and say you were a mummy.
Except the whole I'm hanging out with drinking with my bartender is not that exclusive. That's actually rather common.
It is if he's off the clock. Another thing I wanted to bring up. I am very psyched about this. I did not want to mention the original story because it hurt me a little bit. It hurt me Just like all the times I found out some washout from Saved by the Bell was doing stand-up comedy, some dude that was on House Party 3 is doing stand-up comedy, the Catch Me Outside girl from, as, oh God.
Catch Me Outside.
Catch Me Outside.
That chick who was on Dr. Phil, who was just like the rebellious teen, and for whatever reason.
Rebellious that- is, I got an earring when you told me not to. This is just a rude little bitch.
And those three words have made her a millionaire, yes, quite absolutely. Literally.
I don't think millionaire.
Actually, literally a millionaire. They broke down how much she made by the end of the year. Based on her YouTube videos, her sponsorships, and all that stuff. And she has literally made over $1 million off those three motherfucking words.
Yep.
Well, that's okay, because I know a lot of people have won the lottery. And they have
six words. Don't forget, how about that?
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Well, I mean, those aren't full words. I guess we could call it.
Those are not words at all.
We're going to give you a 5-3.
So anyway, her agency. Oh, God. She has an agency.
Yep.
Her agency announced a little while ago that she would be embarking on a stand-up comedy tour.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I saw this as well.
And this is worse than Screech. This is worse than the other ones because literally she's famous for six words. Like,
Screech was in entertainment already.
Yeah, yeah. He had to prove that he was an actor and could read lines and had to go do all this other stuff. Like, he was in some kind of show business. She's
just a horrible person.
Yeah, she's just the person who doesn't have good parents.
Like, I still take offense to the Screech situation, those situations in particular, like Christopher Reed, things like that, because, and this is probably just my own bitterness, because like stand-up comedy to me is like my dream. Like, I would love to make it. To these guys, it's a safety net.
It is.
I'm like, go fuck yourself.
Well, it's
like,
you know what it's
become?
I'm just
going to do the thing that everyone else tries to do, and I'll just...
It's become writing a book for people who are illiterate. That's what it, it used to be. There were book writers. You're a novelist. You've spent your life working on it. And then there's just people who, because they became famous, could write a book and people would buy it.
Yes.
Now it's that for people who can't read.
Right. And you know, they had ghostwriters for even that,
yeah,
too.
Like, that's right.
Slash cannot stand up by himself, but his book was phenomenal. I'd be hard pressed to think that he wrote that great book that I enjoyed very much. He hired a great writer who went, tell me some stories.
So what you're saying
grew up in this fucking shit.
Bill Burr's gonna come dressed up as the Cash Me Outside girl.
Yeah. Well, I read what her stand-up act would entail. Number one, her first line of business would be lip syncing to her favorite songs. That was number one.
That's not stand-up.
I know.
That's not.
It's built. I saw this came out actually a couple weeks ago when it started. It's billed as a stand-up tour, and I heard it's more of like one of those Charlie Sheen bullshit tours where
like a variety hour
personality and see what the fuck they do on stage.
So the first one is lip sync, and then the next thing she would do was celebrity impression. I don't know what else it was.
Something horrible.
And then at the end, it was inviting people on stage to quote unquote goof around.
What
does that entail?
None of this is stand-up.
No.
None of it.
No.
Is there a part where she said tell jokes? Because that's the stand-up part.
Now here's the part where people like us get vindication. I read this article today, and it was this tour, according to her management, has been postponed. And at first I got mad for the reason.
Let me guess. They sold so many tickets, they ran out of the paper with which to print them on.
You're not far off.
Oh, God, I hope I'm far off.
They said, we're postponing it because of the overwhelming response. We're seeking bigger venues. And guess what? No.
Oh, thank God.
That's a very cute move on her management's part to try and save face. Like, we tried to make some money off this 15 minutes over here. But in reality, to anyone else that works a 9-to-5 job and doesn't know about entertainment, I'm sure they'd go, oh, wow, she must be blowing up. To anyone in entertainment, no, that's not a thing. They don't sell out venues, then cancel the tour.
That's a bullshit move. That's just them trying to make her seem more popular.
Right.
It's
sold no tickets.
That's I'm still a virgin because my dick's too big.
Right.
Excuse. Yeah.
That's when a singer has her tour canceled for, quote, exhaustion.
Yeah. Right. Go to bed. No, there's no reality where a management company that is currently trying to capitalize on someone's 15 minutes will postpone the time they can capitalize.
Right. Yeah.
Now,
they're like, look, we sold out the seats. We'll just open another showtime. Now we're doing 7 p.m. Right. and 9 p.m.
Right. I have been the opener for many, many big acts where they sold out and then just added day.
Right.
They said like Brad Williams, please, we've sold out. Can we do a Thursday show and a Sunday show? Because we've sold out very quickly. We can fill those. And he said,
and Brad's
yes
like,
or
no, let's go to a different venue. Cancel this shit.
Yeah, cancel those tickets.
And that's the entire tour. I'm done with it.
Yeah, there's no planet where that would happen.
Madison Square Garden or nothing.
Yeah. No, so everyone else is getting all upset. Like, oh my God, I can't believe she's that pot. No. No, she's less popular than we gave her credit for.
But people are right to be upset, because if she was to gain popularity, that would just be the worst way to do it. That would be I'm so disappointed in humanity. I actually, a friend of mine, a comedian, was defending her doing stand-up comedy, because he was like, hey, man, if she can make money off this, fucking let her do it. And I was like, no, she's a horrible person.
I'm really sick of this whole, hey, man, if there's money to be made, you know, hey, I don't see the problem. All right. That's the same thing that a pimp says when he finds a 14-year-old runaway. Like, hey, man, if there's money to be made, what's the deal here? Hey, it's not your 14-year-old runaway.
Right.
I don't see the problem. No, there's a fucking problem. There's a moral problem.
Yeah, absolutely. This chick, she's just a horrible person. She should not be. She's already been rewarded for it.
Hey, man, I'm just selling drugs to this recovering addict here who's also a mom now. Hey, I don't see the problem. Money's to be made. If there's money to be made, I don't see the problem.
I'm just like literally counting the days till her stint on Celebrity Rehab. I just can't wait for that to get started.
Just the fact that she's a celebrity.
Yeah.
Rubs me the wrong way.
The part where they call her a celebrity. God, I hate that little bitch.
Could there be another word we use instead of celebrity that signifies that people know who she is, but she's not a fucking celebrity?
THC celebrity.
Our buddy probably has that copyrighted.
Yeah. Anyway, what went on with you guys recently? Bobby, did you do anything fun?
Well, I made a person. That was pretty big.
Next.
Yeah, how's that working out for you?
I made a whole human being. Pretty psyched about it.
Yeah. You're a new dad.
Yeah, I'm a new dad. He's now 11 days old, I think.
I think.
Yeah, he's somewhere around there. You stop counting after a few
You're
days.
You're the total dad that says, like, how old's your kid? 13 or 14.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's
somewhere
between
in there.
11 and 15.
He's somewhere in there. Yeah, it's crazy, man. I watched a bunch of people cut a baby out of my wife, which is interesting to watch.
You
somebody
watch the actual incision.
Yeah, oh yeah, it is weird to watch somebody come after your pregnant wife with a knife and not stop them. But it was shockingly violent. I had watched a bunch of YouTube videos beforehand to prepare, because I was like, I don't want to scare the shit out of my wife when this is happening, so I'm gonna desensitize myself. So I knew the whole process, I knew everything they were doing. I watched a bunch of videos.
I watched Hostel 1-3
watched the Saw movies. Yeah. And then they did it, and they were like, it's funny, they were like chatting about their weekend. They're like, oh, Memorial Day weekend will be at the beach. How about you guys? Like, as they're cutting
Can
into
you
her.
Concentrate, please.
I know.
I hate to be a backseat driver.
And she can't see what's going on. They have like a screen up in front of her, but I can see everything and she can see my face.
Well, I've seen everything.
And so I'm just kind of like stone face. I know exactly how they're going through an amniotic sac right now. Perfect. I know exactly what's going on. And then out of nowhere, the fucking doctor does this like Bruce Lee 1-inch punch and just fucking sinks her arm elbow deep into my wife's thoracic cavity. In just brutally fast fashion. Like, you know, they're not easing in or anything. They do it like a, like, fuck
like
you.
Like a Mortal Kombat fatality.
That's what it seemed like. She was trying to rip her heart out of her body. And the other one jumps on top of her and straddles her and starts trying to push it from the outside out and stuff. It was really interesting to watch.
Oh, God, I think I just threw up my mouth.
Yeah. It was interesting to watch. Baby came out, super healthy. Been hanging out with him for a while.
Oh, yeah. A couple beers.
Yeah, we hang out. Well, he does get milk drunk. You give him too much milk, and they're like,
drunk.
They can't keep their heads up. They can't keep their eyes open. They just pass out.
Can't make a right turn on a fucking head lever on an arrow.
They do a lot of loud burping and stuff. That part is great. What is funny is I got a bunch of like bad advice, and it's one of those things where
how's that like, Bobby?
I don't know.
Did you get a ticket from this bad advice?
Well, you should have taken the good advice of making sure there wasn't a cop there. But
I'm going to hit you in your collarbone. It's going to hurt.
It was really funny. Like I went in and you go have the surgery and you have to stay in the hospital for like 3 or 4 days. And we were in the hospital, and the very first night they like call you in to weigh in the babies and stuff. My wife's recovering from surgery. She can't do anything. I have to wheel the baby into the nursery and have him weigh in and stuff. I know, totally, right? And because she's recovering from surgery, she's fucking crippled. Like, she can't get up and do shit. So I'm
handicapable.
That's right. I'm changing all the diapers. I'm doing all that kind of stuff, the burping, the whole nine yards, anything other than breastfeeding, I'm doing it. And I get into the nursery.
You know he tried, though.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I get into the nursery, and there's this other dad there with his little baby daughter. And I was like, oh, hey, there you go. Congratulations. He's like, congrats to you, too. And he goes, you're first? And I go, yeah. He goes, this is my second. I'm going to tell you the same thing I told my buddies, which is for the first 6 months, you're completely useless. And I was like, Maybe you are,
yeah,
bro.
You sound like a bad person.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I was like, first of all, and then I was thinking, and you started it with, I'm telling you the same thing I told my buddy, so you're spreading your shitty ideology.
I'm seeing him making his wife drag the cans to the corner.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, oh, with the baby in the other hand.
Well, dude, I was looking, I was like,
well, nothing I can do here. Gonna go to the bar for the day.
Yeah.
What do you mean you're completely useless? I was like, dude, my fucking wife hasn't changed a diaper.
She's
in
5 minutes.
Yeah. What do you mean? Like, there's so much shit for you to do, but then you just realize there is that mentality. There is like an old guy mentality or an old dude mentality of like,
sure,
the women handle the babies. That is their responsibility.
They gather berries and they handle the babies.
Yeah. And not only that, but like I said, he fucking spreads his stupid ideology to all of his dude friends. There's so much you can do as a dad nowadays, especially because once we got past the first day or so, they showed you how to do these special non-bottle feedings and stuff with formula. So like, I could still feed the baby. And
oh, he missed that class. So he
He missed all of that. He missed it. There was no.
He's
no
the
classes.
Bar getting wasted.
Yeah. But you realize, like, newborn babies, they have to feed literally every 2 hours. So if you were a mom and you had to do that every 2 hours, you have to wake up, feed the baby. That takes a while. Then burp him. Then change his diaper.
Don't feed the baby.
Put him back to sleep.
Listen, you don't let that baby run the schedule. You run the schedule.
By the time you put him back to sleep, you have maybe an hour left before the next feeding. What are you going to do? Get 40 minutes of sleep at a time? Like, that wouldn't even...
No, you go grab a couple beers with your buddies.
You'd die eventually. Like, that just wouldn't work. You either have to feed the baby on the right schedule or you need to fucking help sometime. And the idea that there are these dudes out there just sitting there watching their wife be, like, tortured and they're just like... Psh. Yeah, that must suck.
Yeah. No, I kid, but like, for instance, Aaron has the flu right now.
Right.
And, you know, there is that England, like, hey, while she's laid up, I can go drink beers in the garage with Carlos and work on a fucking new project. But I'm like, no, this is my time to show that I'm a worthy partner.
Right.
Like, so that like, I almost like it when she gets sick. I'm like, now I can show you I'm worth a damn. I'm like, I'm making soup.
Yeah.
I'm doing
cleaning
the
laundry. Cleaning the house, doing that stuff.
I actually enjoy it. That's why when she starts to get better, I poison her.
It makes her sick.
I really like it. You know, it's a Munchausen type deal. No, but no, she's sick right now, and I'm trying to do that. Oh, another thing about when I came to see you in the hospital.
Right, you came and visited.
This is kind of weird. So Bobby has his baby. As much shit as I give this guy, I love the guy, and I was very excited to see his baby. So I go to the store. I'm buying up everything I can. I'm like, give me them flowers.
Yeah.
Give me that stuffed animal. Give me that balloon. And the balloon on the stuffed animal says, it's a boy. It's very clearly where I'm going with this. And everyone that sees me with it starts saying like, oh, did you just have a baby? And I go, no. It's my buddy just had a baby with his wife. And they all said the same thing. Congratulations. For what?
I don't. You know somebody who can breathe.
You're like, oh yeah, life changing, man. Ah, yeah, my 8th best friend is having a baby.
If only you've gotten pulled over with that in the car seat, in the driver's seat, and you're like, listen, officer, my wife just had a baby. I gotta get to the hospital.
No. What I'm gonna do from now on, I'm gonna keep a cup of my own semen in the glove box, and that I'm on the way to fertility treatment, and then I'll just grab it and just show them and go. Ah!
And then, why is this green and molded? What's wrong with you?
That's disgusting. So anyway, no, everyone congratulated me, and at first I felt weird about saying thank you because this has zero to do with me.
But then you're just gonna lengthen this conversation needlessly, so you almost might as well at some point be like, yeah. Thanks. All right.
That's what I had to eventually do. Like, thanks. It's really awesome that this baby I'll see 3 times a year is now in my life.
But I did. It is funny how it does change you. There's some instant changes. One is, like, I love the shit out of my wife, obviously, but that love develops over years. Like, you don't immediately love that person in that kind of extreme way. With a baby, you literally love it immediately the second it comes out of your wife. You're like, oh my God, I love this thing in a crazy way that I've never loved another thing before instantly, which is a very weird thing to have. But the other is how it changes certain parts of your personality. So we were walking with the baby and the dogs and stuff in Balboa Park a few days ago, and we're walking across the Laurel Street Bridge, and there's some methed out gutter punk dude with a magic marker tagging up one of the like placards on the bridge. I love Balboa Park. I love San Diego in general, but I absolutely love Balboa Park. And a couple weeks ago, I
finally, sir, lie down.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It would have been vigilante justice. Now, I wouldn't have obviously done anything violent to the guy, but I would have removed the pen from his hand, thrown it off the bridge, possibly with his bag of belongings that was next to him and yelled at him a little bit. But I don't, like, I can't fuck around now. Like, I can't be stabbed by random meth heads on the Laurel Street Bridge anymore.
Well, not with that attitude.
Was that
man.
A possibility before? Are you just fine with that?
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't going to get me before, and he wasn't going to get me then either. But I got the baby there, and, like, the baby can be hurt. It doesn't take a lot to hurt a baby. There's... I know. That's super weak.
Toughen that kid up.
And it's weird because now I'm wondering who's gonna take my reins of vigilantism. And I felt really lost and distraught about that for a while until I saw a post by our friend John Grooves recently in which he himself is taking up my vigilantism.
Poorly, by the way.
No, he,
poorly.
Did, a good, he did a good job.
He did not.
Oh, Mr. Weapon X himself, yeah, metal skeleton right. John Grooves, who falls on goddamn driveways and breaks his elbow?
Yeah, he has a Supergirl origin story. Yeah, he recently, I think he saw somebody get their phone stolen and tracked a guy down, tried to find who it was.
Attempted to track the guy down, lost the guy, started tracking the wrong guy.
Yeah. And just harassed an innocent person.
Yeah.
Like, sir, give me your phone.
He's not the hero we need. He's the hero we deserve.
But that brought me back around to an interesting one because I saw that lack of vigilantism. And then there's the, what I would call not quite vigilantism or overt vigilantism. We have a buddy, Michael Castleberry, and he posted something that I keep seeing some of our friends post, and I don't think they realize how, like...
Invitation to the show?
Yeah, that's right. No, I don't think they realize...
Hit me up for free tickets.
I don't think they realize, like, the ignorance of their statement or why it's such a bad statement. I think they're just doing it because it's kind of politically correct to do so, which is the idea that like... Hey man, we should totally just be punching these Richard Spencer Nazi guys. And it's a really, really dumb, bad idea. Because one, you don't have the right to hit anybody because of what they think or believe. Nothing they say gives you the right to cause physical harm to them. But we say, hey, look, we all agree that these people are fucking horrible, right? We agree they have a shitty ideology. Because they're in this group we all agree with, it sucks. It's okay for us to hit them. And then if anybody tries to defend those people, well, most people won't try and defend them, but if they are, we'll just be like, yeah, those guys are Nazis. That's why they're defending them.
Can I say one thing, too?
Yeah.
This whole, like, you should punch a Nazi thing, that means something different to me and our prison correspondent, Big Frog,
right,
than it does to other people. Because when I think Nazi, the people that I've grown up with, it's a dude with a yard body who's been lifting weights in prison for a long time and has a swastika on his neck and is not afraid to die. And you punching him means this is my chance to show that I can kill this man. And I have punched a Nazi, but that's a badge of honor, which means I fucking fought like a warrior, like a gladiator, and I fought to the death. But like other people, when they think like, yeah, I'd punch Richard Spencer.
Right.
Ooh, a hipster in a vest?
Yeah.
Fuck you. Ooh, why don't you punch a toddler while you're at it?
Dude, I just got to say.
Punch a real Nazi. That's all I'm saying.
That's a good point.
This baby has changed you, man. You used to be a Nazi punching, Ark of the Covenant stealing, getting idols out of caves.
Listen, if anybody
I remember
should
you
hate
taking
Nazis.
Out all the Nazis with your whip and your bare hands.
That's right.
Just punching your way
he
through
the
Third
He had a pistol.
Reich.
Calm down.
He didn't use it. Just that
on
one time.
On that Arab guy with the sword, he did.
Yeah.
Are we thinking of someone else? We might be thinking of someone else.
Listen, I get the whole impetus. The guy's an idiot and he should be mocked, but his ideas are bad. And so anyway, Castleberry put that up, and then one of his friends was like, yeah, I don't get this response of you shouldn't hit people for their beliefs and stuff. And I was like, well, listen, I don't want to crowd somebody else's wall, but if you say you
but
don't...
But I'm going to.
Yeah. If you're saying you don't understand it, then let me explain the basics to you. Here, and their response was, well, listen, I'm part of a marginalized group, and this person is, you know, advocating violence towards me. And I'm like, they're not advocating violence. They're idiots, and they're advocating stupid segregationist policies, but they're not saying, hey, we're going to go hit you. What was funny is I had to look this person up, and I'm like, what marginalized group? This looks like a white chick. I'm gonna see who this is. And I look at her profile. I didn't really look in too depth, but I looked, and I was like, it just looks like a young white chick. Like, I wonder what her thing is. And I was like, she's got kind of an interesting last name. Maybe she's Jewish. And she kept talking about, like, oh, I'm going to have all this violence perpetrated against me. And I'm like, I don't think Richard Spencer's attacking, like, a lot of Jewish people. This is interesting. And I kept pursuing back and forth. And I was somewhat aggressive with it because I feel like people use this as an excuse because they use the kind of victim mentality. I can be a victim of something, and therefore it's okay for me to violently assault someone else. And it's like, no, somebody has a right to their ideas. And you don't have the right to hit them just because you're part of a marginalized group of people who also get victimized by other people.
And I will say this, too, is... I've always said, if you see a news article online, avoid the comments. I've said it on this show. Avoid the comments. It's just going to make you mad, and you're not going to win that uphill battle. But just take a look at every time that someone was convicted, not just accused, but convicted of sexual assault. Read those comments of all those people that think that they're morally superior, and you're going to see a lot of, he should be raped by two gorillas and then beheaded and then have a dick shoved down his mouth. I'm like, wow. I thought you were a nonviolent person.
Interesting. We'll get back to Nazi in a second, but interesting flip side to that. Our old buddy War Machine was recently sentenced, and we had some friends who were like, oh, that sentence was too harsh. He wasn't like that. He was a good guy.
Right.
Which is just as disturbing.
And I did post something like this online, and for listeners that follow me online that saw this already, I apologize for the redundancy. But like I've said many times, this show has followed that case closely because I knew him and a few, and you guys knew of him, and we've had friends of his on the show, and I was never his friend, but he knew me, and I knew him, and all I can say about his life sentence for beating his ex-girlfriend almost to death is that this was his pattern, and that was always what we heard about him. Everyone that just sees, like, Googles him is like, oh, well, he had three other assaults. I know about shit you guys never saw in the papers.
Oh, yeah.
I remember shit right when I first met him. Like, did you hear about War Machine? He fucking, some guy, he was standing outside with his shirt off. Some guy made like a snide remark. So he choked him unconscious and bounced his head off the fucking concrete. Oh, did you hear about War Machine? He was at a club in Vegas. And so he fucking hurt two people to the fact they went to the hospital. Oh, hey, did you guys hear about War Machine? He was bored at a party. So he went on a rampage and put seven people in the fucking hospital. Right. So I'm like,
yeah, but he wasn't like that, bro. You didn't know him. I knew him.
You know what? I knew everything I needed to know about him. And you know what? That's the exact person we need in jail forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that kind of comes back around to it because guess what? I guarantee you, War Machine felt justified every time he hit somebody who said something he didn't like.
Of course. And you know what?
Because he always thought they were Nazis.
I've talked to closer friends of his or mutual friends of mine. It's like, all right, so let's go case by case what I said before. Oh, when he was standing outside of his gym in North Park, he had a shirt off and someone said, put your shirt on. Hey, you want to provoke the bull, bro?
Right.
No, you know what? That guy is now in intensive care forever.
Yeah, like
that's not a justified response.
Whether or not somebody is, you know, saying something horrible or not, it doesn't give anybody the right to hit him. And her responses kept coming back to me at like, well, what if they don't change their mind? What if we keep talking to them and they still don't change their mind? And I'm like, why do you feel entitled to change somebody's mind? They're allowed to have bad ideas. It's this kind of victim mentality we've perpetrated where it's like, if you're part of a marginalized group, then you somehow have the right to make somebody see the right way. Now, I think we should keep arguing with that idiot, and I think we could keep making fun of him and mocking his idiot ideas, but it doesn't give anybody the right to go hit him. And then, as I pointed out, she's like, well, I'm part of a marginalized group that takes violence from people like this, so therefore it's different when I say I think I should be able to hit him. And I go, well, let's dissect what you're saying.
Let me guess, she's a Shriner.
Yeah, right. No, I was like, let's dissect what you're saying. What you're saying is you're part of a group that takes violence from people like this, so it entitles you to commit violence against them. Well, you've just advocated committing violence against this guy based on the group he's in, which is an idealistic group. Does he therefore have the right to then commit violence against you and your group?
Did you ever figure out what marginalized group she was part
of?
Yes,
I did. And then I did walk, I didn't necessarily walk it back because the ideas were still the same, but I did feel more sympathy for her because it turns out she was transgender. And I'm like, all right, you guys do get beat up way more. True. Like, there's way more violence against your particular marginalized group than pretty much any other marginalized group.
Right.
So I'll totally give you that. And I understand what you're saying. Same time, you still don't have the right to hit somebody.
Yes. And by the way, the group saying that we should hit people if they don't agree with our ideals, mainly the liberal side, listen to me on this one thing. I have seen a lot of different sides of life because I grew up rich, then became very poor. And then I worked my way up to middle class. And there was at one time where I was a bit of a racist in my early years. And I learned that that was the wrong thing. I've seen a lot of demographics because I lived them. Let me tell you one thing.
You're just reciting American History X. You're a sham.
He was never rich. I can tell you one thing, as someone who is now a centrist leaning left, is that please, you have to know, liberals, that this other side that you want to punch, they like punching people way more than you do, and they're way better at it on average than you are. And listen, I don't think it's right either way, but you are bringing a knife to a gunfight if you want to start hitting everyone that doesn't agree with you. Because guess what? All those psychotic gun nuts, they don't agree with you either. Right. And I do not want them bringing their Smith & Wessons to your little punch party.
Well, the other thing is they're not liberals. So the definition of liberal, the foundational belief of liberalism, is the right to free speech without violent altercation. So whether or not you happen to consider yourself left or right or anything else, if you are espousing that somebody should be violently hit for their beliefs or what they say, you are by definition not a liberal. You're some form of totalitarian. You're either a fascist, you could be a far left communist, you could be something, but you're something where you believe that totalitarianism and violent altercation is a reasonable response to vocalization of ideas.
Well, here's one thing too, because I lean towards the side of I would love to punch Richard Spencer. I get that.
Nobody's saying that you wouldn't want to.
No, but here's the thing. So for people that think that I'll punch him, when you punch someone like that, you're emboldening their stance.
True.
That's another thing.
Yeah, like that's another point I made.
You attack them, then they're like, well, see, we were right about these minorities. Yeah. They're fucking wild.
Not just we were right because, look, they're doing something dumb, but also if you have a better idea, then say the better idea. The person who punches somebody is somebody who doesn't have a better idea. So you're validating them because what you're saying is, oh, yeah, you think this thing? Well, I can't think of a way to refute it, and so therefore I'm going to punch you in the face.
Yeah. You should say the better idea while you're punching him is what I'm getting
at. Exactly. And that also kind of brings us back around to something else, which is this is not by my choosing, but I and by proxy you guys have been drawn into something, which was apparently a debate sprouted out on a comedian's page online about flat earthers.
There's a well-known flat earther on Facebook. Tragically, he blocked me about 2 years ago because instead of debating
against
him.
What's his name?
Dan Falkenbach?
Yeah, that's correct.
Falkenbach.
He blocked me because instead of going against him and debating him, I took his side, but like to a cartoonish level. Like I would post, here's the edge of the earth. I've been there, just shit like that. So he finally blocked me. So I can't see anything he posts, but
what
I can
like
see
the edge of your couch.
I can see the fallout from it, and I can see the response. And I'm like, oh, I wish I could see what he's talking about.
It's good. It is good. So I guess Dan Bublitz at some point he posted something about, I think it was a repeat of something Zoltan had said earlier, which was, is it just the earth that's flat or are all the other planets flat too? Right. And obviously Daniel got involved in that because he's very adamant about his flat earth theories. And they went back and forth and I saw that and I was like, oh, I'm not even bothering that. There's no reason for me to touch that at all.
Sure.
Another comedian basically said, hey, Robert Timothy, you're a scientist. Will you publicly debate this
of
guy.
Sorts.
Right. Will you publicly
grave robber
armchair?
Yeah, it's literally the opposite of an armchair. A field archaeologist.
You're on the field in your chair. We've seen pictures.
I got one of those motorized chairs.
Like that show Roundhouse from Nickelodeon in the 90s.
I don't know what Stephen Hawking's bitching about. This chair is great.
And he said, will you come debate him publicly? And I was like, first of all, I thought he had actually moved to New York. I think that happened a while ago. Maybe he moved back. And I was like, listen, maybe when he's in town.
New York
sometime.
Fell off the edge of the planet. So what
I was like, maybe when he's in town sometime. And he's like, ha-ha, I am in town. Show's you. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. I guess I will. And they're like, yeah, you should do it as a podcast, as a degenerate science faction type podcast thing. And
there will be no crossover!
And so I said, okay, we'll organize something. So it looks like we will be organizing a in-depth, some kind of live podcast show where we do a live event, and I will let Daniel present his theories, present his ideas, ask him a few questions about those ideas.
I see you back. I'm down for this.
And then go into...
And I saw you said this. I couldn't see what he was saying, but I saw you laid some solid ground rules. You're like, we're going to do this one-on-one.
Yep.
It's not going to be piling on you. It's not going to be
because one of the things you missed that he said is, fine, look at all the people you named. Because he listed a bunch of people, including the degenerates. And he said, look at all the people you named. You're going to have a bunch of people who all hate me. Come on out. You can all do it. I'll take you all on just by myself.
God, he's so wrong. I love this kid.
I know.
We have to do this.
And so I said, listen, it's not going to be everybody versus you. I don't think that's a fair debate for him. It will be just me and just you. We might have podcast hosts up on the stage helping a podcast go along. But as far as the debate goes,
we have to do this. I'm sorry.
It will be me versus you. The structure will be simple.
Is this still on the table?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to happen. We're going to allow him to make his case, so we'll give him whatever it is, 20 minutes, to kind of lay out.
He's going to have to print up all his memes beforehand.
He argues a lot with memes. Or allow him to get his model of the universe structured and however he needs to explain it. I'll ask him some clarifying questions, and then I will go into kind of dissecting why this is wrong or
first of all, let me say this. To make this happen, I am going to do this. I am going to promise him $100 to show up. However,
he's got to show up.
He's got to give me $100 collateral so we don't put this whole thing together just okay. for him to no-show. Because I know people like this. They're always like, I'll take anyone on. I've had people I've called into the cage back when I was in my early 20s. I'm like, you think you're a badass? Fight me in the cage. I have a waiver here. I have a guy that owns a gym. We will fight.
I will fight this Tai Chi master, and I will show you.
No, I'm serious. I've shown up. A bunch of people showed up. The guy just never answered his phone again.
Well, I'm not going to punch Daniel in the face. That's part of the whole, hey, I disagree with you, but I'm not going to punch you
him in the face with your brain.
Similar. No, I feel like he's as scared of your brain as the people have been in my fists.
I don't think he is that guy. I think he is very much an adamant believer.
Oh, good. I'm not giving him shit.
No, I think he will show up. I think he will present his case, and then we can take it apart, and we'll do it as a podcast so that people can hear it. And then if you want to do it live, if you want to be part of the live event, we'll release when we're doing it and where we're doing it. Hopefully you can come out and maybe have a few beers and learn about
I'm
flat
gonna
Earth.
I'm going to do Dude. This. I'm going to produce it.
Fantastic.
My favorite outcome for this is if somehow he could prove to us all that the world is actually
it would be
flat.
Great.
That would blow my fucking mind.
Hey,
oh my God.
Daniel,
that'd be amazing.
I'm here. Empirical evidence. By the way, I would hope that would be the case because here's the thing. If he were to do it, I know as a matter of fact for Science Faction, I review the weekly publications every week. Nobody has made such a publication about some kind of empirical evidence for a flat Earth. If he were to present it to me, I would steal that
from
him.
Because Big Globe is trying to keep that information down, man.
I would write it up, I would submit it to Nature, and I would be an incredibly famous scientist.
Submit it to Nature
of...
makes it sound like you leave it in a field and just like...
Nature, the publication. I would be one of the most famous scientists on the history of Earth for the rest of history.
This whole thing, though, like our entire episode today just depresses me because it just speaks to the cult of ignorance
that
is becoming so much more prevalent in our society. And it's sad.
Dumb people on Dr. Phil, dumb people wanting to punch Nazis,
dumb people
think there's a flat Earth.
Yeah.
And let me tie it off with this one. A dumb guy that I caught this week pretending to be a stand-up comic.
Dude, I read this and was so happy.
This was amazing.
I wanted to hear more about
it. So amazing.
Ryan, please tell this story.
All right. So now first of all, I have always loved the Stolen Valor videos online.
Oh, yeah. That is where somebody pretends to be in the military. And they usually wear a uniform. They're so dumb, they don't coordinate the fucking badges and shit, right?
That's
because
they don't know. They have
no idea.
But you could just Google that. Anyway, regardless, they do something wrong, and somebody walking by goes, wait a second, you're not an Army Ranger and a Navy SEAL at the same time. What are you fucking talking about?
It's best when they get confronted. No, I am, bro. Yeah. I am. I was the best one. They put me in both.
Really good with a bow staff.
Yeah, Donatello. No, it's crazy that anyone would do this because, honestly, you will run into somebody that does this thing you're pretending to be, and it's weird if you know zero about it.
Right.
It's one thing if you're a jiu-jitsu blue belt pretending to be a black belt because at least I can say, if you like confront me and say, hey, how long did it take you to get your black belt? I can say 11 years. And you're like, all right, that makes sense.
And then even let's say you're a local guy who's a blue belt and they say, where do you go? You can know some school on the East Coast that they won't be familiar with.
Yeah, I'm on 10th Planet. They're not in San Diego.
Yeah.
It's very easy to do if you know a little bit about it.
Right.
But these guys that do nothing. And now I always envied this. I got famously on this show, I even said, like I called up that guy that said he was an MMA fighter who knew nothing about any martial art. That was fun, but this was even a little bit better. I've never served in the military, so I'm like, oh, I'll never get to do a Stolen Valor type deal. On Wednesday, I did. So I'm at my doctor's office, and I'm reading a magazine in the waiting room, and the nurse is took back this guy. He's clearly trying to flirt. It's very easily seen. And when she comes back out, the nurse, an attractive lady, she says something to the effect of, you're so funny. And he goes, well, I actually do comedy professionally.
Wow.
And now...
all he had to say was, I do some open mics. That's all he had
to
say.
Or just, I do comedy.
Yeah.
Like that's...
Yeah.
He could be a YouTube guy.
Professionally on?
Oh.
So anyway, he did that. And now the nurse... she can't violate HIPAA law and say, hey, the guy sitting right behind you is a comic, because she will lose her job. That whole practice could be shut down if I make a stink about it. So she goes, a patient here is actually a comic. Where do you do comedy? And you know what? I'd heard enough, and at which point I threw down my People magazine and said, she means me. Do comedy. Where do you do comedy at? And he goes, Comedy Store.
Well, hold on. To preface this, Ryan, if you're not a comedian, you kind of know everybody who would be at the level to call themselves professional. That's why I said the open mic was a bad call. If he would have said, I do open mics, Ryan could very well not know who this guy is.
He
could be doing open mics a bunch, and Ryan might not know who he is. But when you say professional, that is a slim
and
number.
Out of San Diego. Yes. I know every pro in this town.
Yeah. Right.
There's
and
no way.
They don't even describe themselves as professional.
Right.
They just say, I'm a comedian.
Yes.
Yeah. Nobody says professional.
So that's what I was like, what do you mean you do comedy? What are you, YouTube videos? Anyway, so I'm like, what do you mean you do comedy? He goes, oh, I'm a regular at the Comedy Store.
Wow.
Right there. The Comedy Store is the premier club in this town where you don't just waltz in there. You're either a bringer on a bringer night, or you do open mics, or you have been passed. Let me tell you how hard it is to get passed as a regular. The general manager, his name is Mike Vinn. He's a friend of mine. He likes me. I am not passed.
Right. Same with me. I've known Mike for 10 years. I am still not passed.
You need TV credits. You need to be passed. Like you, it's an arduous process. You can't just be a casual comic. So anyway, he goes, well, I'm at the Comedy Store. I'm like, well, who books you at the Comedy Store? I see him freeze.
Oh, that's so good. This is so good.
Now he knows that I'll know whatever name he says. He can't just be like, Michael Hickabottom.
Yeah.
I'll be like, that doesn't exist. So he goes, no one really books me. I just show up and
here's a pop-in.
They kind of let me go on.
Wow.
I'm like, so open mics. He goes, oh, no. I'm like, how much time do they let you do when you just show up and say, can I go on? He goes, 20-30 minutes.
It's a feature.
No. You have pop-in status at the best comedy club in the city?
Nobody pops in to do 20-30 minutes. Someone famous.
No. At the Laugh Factory in Hollywood, Dane Cook is allowed to do that.
8 to 10. He doesn't pop in for 30. I'm just saying, this guy's story is falling apart on every single front.
I'm like, you have pop-in set? No, at this point, I already know he's lying. So now, I'm just trying to do what Dave Callens does and get more excited for him. Wow, you have pop-in status at the Comedy Store?
Here's the ice wall.
How'd you get that? And he goes, well, they all kind of know me there. I went, perfect. I am going to text the general manager, Mike Vinn, right now. And explain to him that I met you. He'll be psyched. And his response was, I have to go now. And he ran. He ran like a Prefontaine in the finals.
Oh, God.
He sprinted out the door.
That's maybe fantastic. That's just his closer.
And I still had to text Mike. I'm like, yo, Mike Vinn, what's up, man? Hey, do you know a guy named this? Because he told me his name. I'm like, he's an older English guy.
Wow. See, this is a 21-year-old man's game. It's interesting that this was an older dude.
No, this guy was a 50-year-old British man.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
So I easily said, do you know a 50-year-old British man with this name that says he's a regular? He's like, I've never even seen him on an open mic.
Wow.
How do you fucking bullshit
now
like that?
Now I feel bad. He was clearly there for treatment on his dementia.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
Oh, yeah, he's at the dermatologist for treatment of his dementia.
He's actually a 60-year-old guy from Arizona. He's not even British.
That might be after this shit.
Oh, God,
that is fantastic, and I've always wished I could be a fly on the wall for
those moments. I want to chase him. Get back there.
I wish, the only thing I wish is that you had recorded this. I wish you had pulled your phone out.
Oh, me too.
Right before it started, too, before he had even painted himself into that corner.
In short, I got to ask you, isn't it so much more satisfying to be on the liar's side?
It is.
Like to just egg him on and just watch him step into the
wrong. Because if you say like, wait, no, you're not. That's not a thing. Like they can still argue.
It's combative.
It's combative. And you look like the asshole. It's kind of wrong. But like all of a sudden, if you're like, oh my God. Like for instance, when the guy that I called out for being a jiu-jitsu black belt, when I said, how long did it take to get your black belt? And he said, 2 years.
Yeah.
And if I said, wait a minute, no, that's not right. He'd be like, yes, it is. But instead, I went with the tactic of, oh my God, you set the record.
Yeah.
You unset BJ Penn. It usually takes people 10 years, you know, minimum.
Right.
But like, you got yours in two? We got to call somebody. We got to get you on the record books. Like, and that makes them like on their heels, like, oh, yeah. Don't call anyone, please.
Yeah. Even if you didn't do the video, it would have been great if after he said he has those popping privileges, your eyes just got huge and went, I need to get a picture with you. And yeah. then you you got like a picture with your hand around him for the post.
Oh my God. I'm going to so ask good. That nurse when he's coming back next and schedule an appointment, even if I'm not sick. I am coming back there, and I'm going to schedule another appointment. All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan Shores for Dave Callens and Big Daddy himself, Mr. Robert Timothy, saying see you next week, cruising with the twos. Give me that. Yeah, put it in my mouth. Ooh, 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 yeah, time passing by.
Motherfucking time is passing by.
Manmosa.